This is Nursing in America. Each week we speak with incredible nurses who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream. This is the second part of a two-part episode, so make sure you go back and listen to part one first.
You spoke, Bernard, about legalities, and we spoke about this in the teaser. Can you talk a little bit about that and what you wish you had known before you came to America about legalities in America? Because that is something that can be very scary for many international nurses.
Yeah, you know, comparing Philippines, the practice of nursing in Philippines and the U.S. is that legalities is really big in the United States. That's what they always said, you know, even in the Philippines, if it is not documented, means it didn't happen at all. Okay. So a basic example for that, you see your patient, you're doing your assessment, and then you see your patients, they say, for example, you work in a med-surg or telemetry area or an ICU, and then you got this patient, newly admitted patient from a nursing home, let's say, for example, and then you see, wound in the coccyx, or in the sacrum, in the buttocks, pressure ulcer. And then you didn't document it in the wound section of your work flow sheet in the electronic records, and then, or even you didn't take a picture on it. Just follow your hospital policy, because if that one is not documented, and then the patient develop a bed sore, I mean, it already has a bed sore, and then eventually later on progressing to a very septic wound, and then now the patient complains, you know, they can turn around and then make a story, you know, this wound developed in the hospital, and then they can sue the hospital. And then when they go back to your documentation and you didn't document that one, and then that's a big loss for the hospital. Okay. So that's the, you know, documentation is a big issue where you work at. Anywhere in the United States, because that's the only thing that supports your practice, because even you can lose your license. I have a friend, it's just only a small, what do you call this? You know, the oxygen cannula, it developed a sore there. And then even the hospital didn't help her, and then even brought this issue to the nursing board. You know, like you go through all those processes, but you know, you can still get your license back and all this stuff. But if you go through that process, it's a hustle. It's a hustle. Yeah.
So, and legalities can be something very scary for an international.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Rianne, do you have any thoughts or advice to share?
I have three. One is about the HIPAA. We call the Privacy Act here in America. So that's number one also that they're telling us during the orientation. We don't need to talk about particular patients, even just the age of the patient or even the name. They're very particular with that. You don't have to mention or talk when you are walking on the hallway or in the elevator, you don't talk about the patient. So you don't also take pictures with their names, with their faces. So all the information about the patient is just in the Epic or in the computer of the patient. I mean, the computer of the hospital. So you don't need to take it out of the hospital, and no picture taking also. And of course, I work in a big hospital here in Houston, so we get a lot of patients, past presidents of the United States, athletes, football athletes, ballet dancers. I mean, really big names. So if you check on that and you are not on a direct care to that patient, you can get fired. A lot of nurses got fired because they just clicked on that. What they call this, the name of those big persons, big personalities. So just be very careful with that. if you are not a direct care nurse, don't ever click on that, because in just one click, you can get fired.
That's true.
And number two, also false, regarding false. In the Philippines, we don't actually, I seldom encounter false. Here in America, false is really a big issue. So be very careful. And aside from that, in the Philippines, they get a lot of visitors and family members are at the bedside. Here in America, expect that the patient will just come there by themselves. It's not in their culture that the family will go there and take care of them. So falls is really a big issue. And the third one, I should say, is about the restraints, especially if the patient is on DNR. Within 24 hours, if the patient is on DNR and he or she is on restraint, the state will try to really investigate. The state court will try to investigate you. So those things, I really don't know until I came here in America. So just be very careful, because it's your license that is on hand. It's on state. So those are the some advices I can give.
And also to add on with that, Rian and Tanya, because I have that personal experience actually regarding patient fall, where I work in Las Vegas. And then it was really, really tough, because the patient fell. It's not because of I didn't do anything, you know. So, you know, before you do your assessment, you documented it, you know, like patient put the bed alarm on, all these precautionary measures. And then what happened? Suddenly, the patient fell. I was with the other room, taking care of another patient, blah, blah, blah. And the patient fell. And then now what happened, legality came in. The family members sued the hospital. Okay. So I was not there in the court, you know, to speak for the hospital. But I was thoroughly, you know, investigated by my manager. What happened, you know, like all these explanations. And then because of that incident, you know, the hospital did a lot of stuff, you know, like they did that Vocera, they link in that bed alarm that goes to the Vocera, and then it alarms nurses, you know, your patient is, you know, is getting up, you may fall. So yeah, those are the things that we need to emphasize, you know, especially nurses just starting here in the US, because these are all very stressful, you know, in the workplace, especially for nurses, you know, never had this kind of work environment.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of doing the Lafora talk show, is to share that information in a way that really is helping other people. Because if you don't even know these things exist, you can't know how to look out for yourself, really.
That's true.
And the intention here is not to scare anyone. It's really to educate.
That's true.
It's really to educate. From a clinical perspective, two questions. What do you think is the biggest difference in practice of what you experienced outside the US to what you experienced inside the US? And the second part of the question is there anything that you would advise a nurse to do now to try and prepare for that difference from a clinical perspective? Rianne?
For the clinical perspective, I should say that nurses here in America have more autonomy, and they are really, really respected. They actually, people will say that if you're a nurse, you're earning high, or you have a job security. So, well, it's actually true, but also it depends on the state, on the hospital, or your employer. So it depends. But I could say that nurses are really respected here. And one thing with what Bernard is doing right now, the nurse practitioner, in the Philippines, we don't have nurse practitioners, I think, yet. So it's really a big help, because during Code Blue or during CERT, what we call the Clinical Emergency Response Team, the nurse practitioners will be the first one, aside from the doctor, going there, giving all the orders, giving all the instructions what to do to save the patient's life. So I think that is really very rewarding, and that's the very big difference in the Philippines, clinically speaking. And aside from that, on the patients, when patients are comparing Philippines and America, when discharging patient in the Philippines, we do it manually. We even compute or what they call this, the field health and the bills of the patient. We really need to check it, unlike here, and compared to the Philippines, huh? But here in America, we don't do it. We just give the patient's instruction, just tell the case manager, and actually, sometimes we also have a discharge nurse here, so they will be the one focusing on the discharge to the patient. So, but here in America, it's really fast. If the patient is for discharge, then he or she can be discharged easily without you being problematic about the papers. So just give the patient's instructions about the medicines, when is the follow-up checkup, and just remove all the contraptions such as the IV, and then the patient can go. And that's it. Unlike in the Philippines, it's very manually or handwritten. So that's the difference clinically. So I think what can I advise to nurses coming here in the United States, of course, you have to prepare not only physically, but really mentally, spiritually, and you have to attend a lot of seminars or trainings that will really be helpful in your nursing career here, because you have to be really competitive. You'll be dealing with a lot of nationalities, like not only American people. Of course, you're bringing the flag of the Philippines. I mean, as a Filipina nurse, they are really well respected. They know that you are very smart and very, not only skillful, but also very smart and very, all of them are, I mean, the patients, they're really happy if the nurse is a Filipino or a Filipina. So you have to keep up with that, because if you come here unprepared, you will really have a hard time adjusting. So
that's
my advice.
Yeah. In my case, well, in my case, so I've been a nurse for, I would say like 12 years here in the US. So nursing in America, you know, developed my skills really. And then I can say that skills, you know, it's not a one day lesson, that you have to build it every day, you know, years and years. So the big difference between nurses in the Philippines and also here is that the autonomy and then the independent of judgment. What I'm trying to say is that when you see your patient, let's say, for example, you work in an emergency room and a patient comes in and then shortness of breath. So before you're the triage nurse, before you present that to the doctor, what's going on? You know already what's the history of the patient. You know already when was the last time this patient experienced shortness of breath or chest pain. You know, you should build your assessment skills, okay? You know your vital signs, you know your blood pressure, you know the EKG reading, and blah, 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 okay? Because these are skills that needs to develop over time. Okay, one thing that I can advise for those nurses wanting to come here in America, if you had the opportunity to go to other countries while waiting for your green card, let's say you work in Middle East, you have the opportunity in Middle East, you have opportunity in Canada, or your opportunity in UK, grab that opportunity, because these countries, you know, are patterned. The nursing practice is almost the same. And also the equipment, the diagnostic tests, they're almost the same. The only thing difference is that how the healthcare practice being carried on. So the lack of judgment for nursing in the Philippines, because I remember when I was practicing nursing in the Philippines, I just followed doctor's order. Okay. So when patient comes in, I need an order to insert an IV. In America, once the patient is in your unit, the doctor is expecting you have an IV inserted already, okay? And then the doctor's already expected that you have, you know, the history of the patient. Know your patient. That's all I want to say. So that's the big thing, because it develops confidence. And then know your labs. Know your patient, so that if you talk to the doctor will just, you know, add on and then ask patient also. And another thing is that Filipino nurses is there's a lack of communication between care team, like doctors, physical therapies, respiratory therapies, because here they know you. You are the direct patient care. Okay, these people, or doctors, RTs, physical therapies, they rely on you. Okay, when the doctor made the rounds, they would say, "How's my patient? What do you need from me?" That's what the doctor would say. So you already know. You assess your patient. Oh, doctor, my patient is that needs a physical therapy. There's a problem with the swallowing. I need an order for speech eval. And then probably because the hemoglobin drops, I need the CBC order. Maybe we can trend the check of blood work, things like that. So you're really on the top of the game, you know. So that makes you a very extraordinary nurse. But also, that's what nurses expected to do their job here in the U.S. It sounds very scary. It sounds very stressful. But when you go that every day, you will get it, you know, the drill and then the skills.
It takes time to build that confidence, yes. Mm-hmm. I think.
That's why, you know, like get experience as much as you can.
I think that's also great advice because, it's a combination of things. It's not just the electronic medical records if you haven't worked with that. It's not just the differences, there might be different medication names or things like that. But very, very important is that assertiveness and that independence and autonomy. So it's kind of like a paradigm shift. Because you're used to the doctor being in charge, and yeah. It's very, very different.
One thing, just to add on, Tanya, the one thing that I learned that the doctor told me that I can't forget is that when I presented the case to the doctor, and then I presented a number that is abnormal, and then what did he say to me? How's your patient? Okay, you have abnormal values, but how's your patient? Is your patient really critically ill or what? And then tell me what's going on to your patient.
Well,
I'm like, okay.
It's your patient.
Yeah, <true. laughs>
It's your patient.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to a question from Sun. Sun is asking, are hospital employers/employers sponsoring employees for further education? Is it free? Are there community colleges that we can roll to despite being an immigrant? If you want to take that question.
Yes, of course. Here in America, especially in my hospital, they shoulder the seminars and trainings, especially the BLS and the ACLS. They will shoulder everything, and they will pay you per hour.
That's true.
How much your salary per hour they will pay you. Aside from them paying the fee, the seminar or training fee, they will pay you per hour because it also will help the hospital, not only you, but also the hospital. So, yeah, it's free.
Yeah, continuing education is really big thing in the nurses or in the hospital, you know. They're very good at it, training nurses, because I think that's a legal issue also here in America. Once the hospital didn't train their staff or giving continuing education, and then you can say, oh, I didn't know this kind of training. So you can brought that to the hospital and the hospital might be in trouble. So that would be the least of your concern, as what Rian said. It's free. At the same time, you're getting paid, which is the best part. Actually, I have a class to attend after this talk to the hospital. So I'm just going to sit there and then listen to this education and getting paid. So how's that?
In addition, also community college. Yes, we have community colleges and actually universities here, especially in Texas. All the medical big universities, medical schools are here. So it's really good. And actually, my hospital shoulders have a budget of $4,000 per year, $4,000 per year for your tuition fee.
And that just brings me to an additional comment, is it's very important to ask these questions of your employer if you have already got a sponsor, because every employer has different educational policies and benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Also different if you are working in a hospital or if you're working maybe in a nursing home, long-term care, skilled nursing, if you're working in a surgery center. So, you know, what Bernard and Rianne are expressing is their experience. from an education perspective, but different organizations might have different benefits in that regard. So that's part of the research that both Rhiannon and Bernard have told you.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work in healthcare facilities here in the USA. If you are interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. On with the show.
We spoke in the teaser about financial literacy. This is a big thing for many nurses coming to the US, right? So credit history, insurance, taxes, 401ks. What do you wish you had known before you came to America? And what advice would you give to anybody who is not yet here to try prepare themselves in terms of financial literacy? Because this is a big issue, a big topic.
Mm-hmm. So regarding the credit score, I didn't know about credit score. And what is credit score? Actually, because we don't have that in the Philippines. It's only like, okay. And then my aunt, who's also an accountant, told me about that. And then during the orientation, they told us about credit score. So credit score, it's a score that you build through time. It's ranging from 300 to 850. So the higher, the better, of course. So depending on your credit score, it's how the lenders will lend you or give you the money if you want to buy a house, if you want to buy a car. So if your credit score is not good, so of course they will question or will not allow, lend you money if you have some loans. And if you want to apply for a bank, so a credit on the bank, it will really be hard for you if you don't have, if you have a bad credit score. So how will you build your credit score? Of course, you have to pay debt. Your debt, if you have any, you have to make your your credits real low. Don't reach the maximum limit. And also you have always to pay on time all your because here in America all is automated, and like in the Philippines, I am used always to carry cash. Right now I don't actually have cash, it's only credit cards. So they are always monitoring your credit cards if you pay on time or not. So that's how the credit score works. And then about the taxes, it's different per state. It's different. So like here in Texas, like what Ms. Jean told, I saw one of the talk shows before, she told that Texas only pays the federal tax. And like in other states, they pay city tax, state tax, and federal tax. So it depends on the city or the state that you, the state that you will go to. So research. We always emphasize here that research on the place that you will go to. And regarding insurances, here in America, insurance is everything. So you are insured, you're self-insured, your house is insured, your car is insured. Actually, even my gun, I have my own gun.
Oh,
so my gun is insured also.
Okay.
So everything here is insured. So always know about the legalities, the laws in your state regarding insurances also. And about the savings, retirement savings, the 401, 403, it will be discussed by your employer, but also know your rights, know your responsibilities regarding that. And of course, if you are single, expect that the tax is really higher. But it will be good. You will, for me, I advise that put more on your retirement savings. So at least if you are single, so at least you will see the fruit of your labor in the end. So that's it about my advices regarding the taxes and the credit score and stuff. Maybe Mr. Horn can add.
Well, I can add some of it. I think Rian mentioned almost everything important about financial literacy in the United States. For those nurses to come here, I mean, I would say save. Okay, don't be extravagant on your spending. Don't use your credit card if you're not able to pay. pay your credit card on time so that you're building a good credit score, because your score will help you, you know, getting a house, getting a good interest rate, a lower interest rate, because that really matters. You know, every single cent or dollars you earn that. That's a hard work. Okay. And then for taxes, as what Rian said, every state has different tax payments or collections. In California, we're paying three, right? Federal, state, and also city taxes. Yeah, it's big. You know, it's a huge deduction of your salary, but it compensates of what you're earning. Yeah, don't worry how much you're earning in certain states. Let's say you earn only $20 per hour as compared to California, that nurses making here like $65 to $75 per hour, even $90 or even $100 per hour. I've never heard this one. So, but don't catch that higher rate, because, you know, the cost of living also is very high. And then the 401k, because I would really recommend, or, you know, advice for those new nurses who just started here, put money in your 401k. Aside from your savings, is that it is a pre-tax. Okay, most of the 401k deducted to you is just a pre-tax. Means to say, you're not getting taxed on that. You're getting taxed at the end, at the time that you're getting the money on the retirement date. So that's a huge thing, because, you know, you don't want getting old, you don't have money, but you have all these extravagant cars and houses, but you don't have cash and savings in your bank. That is something that you need to work on starting from, especially when you're young. So those are the advices.
Okay, excellent. I think it was very clear, very good advice from both Rian and Bernard. And thank you for that, because I think for many nurses coming here, first of all, they don't even know that credit history exists, never mind to find out about it. They don't know what a 401k means. They don't know that different states have different tax structures and how that affects the rate. And again, this is the importance and the beauty of the Lafora Talk Show, is this is a platform for nurses helping nurses, where you are sharing that, you know, with other nurses, so that you can, so that if you're coming to America, you can educate yourself about these things. And hopefully that's where your culture shock will be much less. And that's really the goal. One quick question on the clinical side that I wanted to ask for Rasmel, who said, grateful for this talk. Great, Rasmel. I'm glad that you like it. And I have to ask, how long did it take you to adjust to American clinical standards?
For me, I think because in my hospital, they train nurses, new nurses, for 2 to 3 months. So they will allow you to be trained with a preceptor for 2 to 3 months. And if you're not comfortable yet, they can extend your orientation or your preceptee time. So, but for us nurses, because Filipino nurses are really very flexible and they're really fast learners. So in a month or two, you will be, and if you are already experienced, it will really help. But it doesn't necessarily need, like, you should be the highest or really skillful. Still, of course, your attitude. Number one for me is attitude. Next is your skills and your knowledge about the topic. I mean the nursing stuff. But your attitude, your being positive will help. A positive attitude and an open mind will really help you to adjust. So it depends on you. It depends on the person still.
Actually, with regards to that, it varies, right? It varies what is your specialty area you're practicing. If you are medical, surgical, telemetry, ICU, surgery. So skills-wise, if you've been experienced nurse, you know, like it's there already. You know, the confidence will just kick in a matter of like 2 months, 3 months. The only thing that you can, the needs adjustment is the how the hospital policies, you know, because if you don't know the policies, that is not your mistake. Okay. So it takes time, you know, like to know the policies, where you can get the policies and all this stuff. So probably I would say like 6 months to 1 year for that certain hospital. But when you move to another hospital, there's going to be another you know, policy, there's another culture again. So it's another adjustment. So because I work in a different states, different hospital, I did traveling also. So the scariest part is, you know, like the communication, I would say. You know, it's so hard to adjust, especially different languages, accents, things like that.
It takes time.
Yeah, it will take time.
And you know, I would just add to that as well, having been an immigrant myself, as well as seeing thousands of nurses coming through to the US. It really varies per person. It depends on your background. It depends on if you worked in other countries. It depends on the facility that you're going to, how good their orientation and training is. So it really does vary. But I think that general culture shock, in my opinion, you're probably looking at overall, and this is not just the clinical aspect, this is the whole experience, is usually looking at about 6 to 12 months before you start to feel that you are integrating into the culture.
That's
of the organization. And again, that's not the clinical side, because I know the question was more the clinical side. That's just kind of the overall experience. Okay, last question. I've got so many questions I want to ask. Last question. Okay, we're going to talk about the states.
Right.
Because as we've said, many people don't realize how different it is in the different states. So, Rianne, I know that you have been in Texas now for 2 years. I want to ask you to share your experience of living in Texas. What have you learned in terms of, okay, we spoke a little bit about the taxes, so we maybe don't need to go into that in too much detail, but like the cost of living, what you like about it, what you, you know, with the best attractions you've seen in Texas, what you maybe don't like about living in Texas?
Oh, one thing for sure is I love Texas. Even though I don't have any relatives here in Texas, all my relatives are in LA, in California, I love Texas. Because, of course, the weather is, it's similar to the Philippines. So it's not that very cold. And it sometimes gets hot and it's rainy, so it's okay with me. It's variable, very variable here in Texas, the weather here. But I love the temperature. I don't get to wear a lot of jackets. And then what else? Aside from the cost of living, here is really cheaper compared to other states. We only have also like 30% in our taxes. So you can buy also a house in just like 300,000 house, which is already a mansion, like 3 to 4 bedrooms with two baths already. So it's cheaper, the housing here, the cost of living, and even the gas. I think the gas, we reached like just $1.20 like that, but it's playing $1.50 like that, $1.60. It's really cheap, the gas here. So also I love the freeways, and NASA is here. So if you want to visit and feel the outer space experience, NASA is here. Galveston, one of the historical places, because Texas is also a very large state. It's the second largest state in the United States and the second most populous state in the U.S., secondary to California, because I think California is the number one. Mm-hmm. So, and Texas, it's not Houston that's the capital of Texas. It's Austin, actually. So just a fun fact. So that's about Texas.
Fantastic facts there. I love it. And Bernard, I know you also lived in Texas, but in a different part of Texas. How was your experience different in Texas or the same as Rianne? And then tell us a little bit about Nevada and California.
Sure. When I was in Texas, what I like is the weather. You know, the weather is like Philippines, humid, but not as humid compared in the Philippines. I like the food in Texas. I miss the ribs. Yeah, I miss the steak. Everything is big in Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, the houses, the food, the freeways, the roads. You know, that's what they said. Everything is big in Texas. It is very true. So what I don't like in Texas for the pay of nurses, you know, I would say, I mean, you know, it's only okay for, you know, just to pay for your living, you can still save because the houses, the apartments are cheaper. And it depends on the person. But compared to when you go to the west side, let's say, for example, California, I think California has the highest paying nursing jobs. In Nevada, to be specific, I live in Las Vegas. What I like in Las Vegas, it's fun. Now, you know, it's a beautiful city. It's more spectacular lights, a lot of shows. There's a lot of Filipinos also, for FYI. There's a lot of, there's a Jollibee, there's a Max, you know, like all those stuff, Filipino stuff that you missed in the Philippines. There's a lot of that in the West Side, Las Vegas and Nevada. The pay for nurses, I would say on the average, Las Vegas, I wouldn't say it's cheap. It could be, I would say, affordable. You can get a house worth 400, or right now it's 400. When we get a house there before, it's like 250,000. This is all, what do you call this, loan. It's not a one-time cash. We don't have a $250,000 to pay for the house. So, yeah, that's for the Vegas. For the California, I would say Northern California pays higher compared to Southern California, because when I tried to Google and look at it, let's say, for example, for average pay nurses for LA is somewhere around $35 to $40 per hour. You can earn that also in Las Vegas and also in Texas without state tax. Not in California, there is a state tax. But in northern side of California, like San Francisco, Bay Area, you know, the starting nurse is like 65, new graduate, $65 per hour to $75 or $80. But again, it's the cost of living. You know, the houses here is so expensive that I don't understand. You know, houses on the average for some people wanted to come here because they think, oh my God, you know, like traveling jobs in California is pays high. Or you can hear right now like $140 per hour for the crisis nurses. But it's hard to live to get a house for $1 million. And then you have to fix all those. There's a lot of things to fix, not brand new. It's an old house, starting from $1 million, $2 million loan. And then it doesn't necessarily mean you're a nurse, you can afford that. No, you need 2 to 3 jobs for you to afford that kind of loan. Okay, so that's why nurses here are so hardworking. Like my friends, my colleagues, my coworkers, they have 2 to 3 jobs. They don't sleep. They want money. I don't know why. You know, like it depends on what you want. You know,
what's your priority? Yeah.
Because
what's your goal?
We have traveling nurses from East Coast. They just come here and then work, and then they go back to the state where they're coming from, and then save that money. So because of the cost of living is very expensive.
Yeah, and I think just for anybody who's watching, just to also clarify, that Rian is talking about specifically Houston. Bernard was talking about McAllen, Las Vegas, and San Francisco. The states that they were even speaking about, there's a lot of differences even within those states. So even between McAllen and Houston, or if you're in a small town in Texas, or between Fresno and San Francisco, or Las Vegas and Reno, you know, there's a lot of differences from a rate perspective. And I think the message hopefully should be clear to everyone is that every place has got good and bad. So in California, you might earn more, but the cost of living is more, the taxes are more. And it all just depends what you are looking for and what's the best fit for you. So I just want to clarify that for anybody who's watching.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So we have gone way over time.
Oh.
But I thank you, Bernard is shocked. We had
fun. It's 1 hour and a half.
This was such fun. Thank you, Rianne. Thank you, Bernard. You did an awesome job. I was just looking at Rianne's picture behind her with the heart. Yeah, show everyone your heart. And I was just thinking.
Good. Where's my stack? There you go. Let all that you do be done in love.
Oh,
so, I love that. I love that.
When I saw it too, that's why I bought it.
I love it. So I just wanted to highlight that because I know that everybody watching is looking to Rianne and Bernard and thanking them for their big hearts, for giving their time now to help other nurses to adjust to living in the US. And I'm so grateful to both of you. Thank you for sharing your journey. Thank you for sharing your experiences, for giving people hope and inspiring them for a better future. So we want to thank everybody. We'll be back next month with two more guests. If you have any additional questions, please let us know. And Rhianne and Bernard have agreed that they will go into the chat if there are any specific questions that you have for them that we didn't get to. I tried to get to as many as possible that we didn't get to for you, that they will go into the chat and answer those questions for you. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Please tag your friends. If you have not yet found a sponsor, if you have not yet passed the NCLEX, you have not yet passed the IELTS exam, please do so. This is your time. This is the best. You know, I've been doing this for many, many years. We have many employers all over the US. There are so many opportunities right now for nurses. Thank goodness the pandemic is, there is great signs of hope. So now is the time to do that. And the American dream is very much alive and living, as we know from Rhianne and Bernard.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for watching.
Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and hit the follow button on your podcast player and leave us a review. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work here in the USA. We offer direct hire, meaning you will be sponsored and hired directly by American healthcare facilities. If you're interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more incredible conversations.